let's give God some praise. Amen. Amen. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Thank you, our young people. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise for them. Amen. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I don't think there is any other place I'd rather be, amen, than in the house of the Lord on this another Lord's Day. And we're grateful. I know we've had a trying week and some difficult days. Last week was emotionally tough and physically challenging for me, but somehow or another God has a way, and I'm grateful that he gives you strength when you need it. Why don't you just turn and wave at somebody that you didn't come with? Go ahead. Just let's be friendly today. Let's be friendly today. Go find another person and wave at them. Just wave at them. Come on. Let's be friendly today. Be nice. It's Christmas. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. You don't know what your wave did to somebody. That, amen. You may have lit somebody up just by waving at them, just greeting them in the name of the Lord. Amen. Anybody know God's been good to us? Yes. And we are thankful to be in the house of the Lord. Well, it's preaching time. Didn't our babies do a wonderful job? Amen. And Miss Evangelist Tony, where are you? Stand up, Tony. I call her Evangelist. She's Evangelist. She got a book drive that's going on, so y'all support that book drive. I'll give you more information, but all those that are books from kindergarten to 12th grade, gently used books. You got them in your home. Lisa and I had all kind of books that we read to the kids. Well, Lisa read to the kids. And so we packed them up and we brought them today. Amen, to turn in. And so, amen, I pray you support her. Let's pray together and we'll jump right into the word. Most gracious and eternal Father, thank you again for this another Lord's Day. It is, oh God, the Sunday before the day in which we celebrate your birth. And we want to pause for a moment to thank you that you came into this world, even though you were God, you loved us enough that you were willing to come to a ghetto little hamlet of Bethlehem, that you might prove to us the scope of your love. We say thank you, Lord. We're grateful because we have a right relationship with you and that we can come boldly to the throne. And it does not matter what we go through. We know we have a God we can call on. And so now, God, it's preaching time. And we pray again, oh God, that you will stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, touch these lips of clay that I may be able again to edify your people according to the power that works in me. And oh God, we pray you speak to the stillness of our hearts that we might know we've heard from on high. When it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor which is already yours. In the wonderful name of Christ Jesus, we do pray. And together, every child of God shouted, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give him some praise. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's stand and turn with me to Gospel according to John, and we're going to read in our hearing again, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The Gospel according to John, and it is chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. You have it, say amen. You don't have it, say wait. You can't find it, Sunday school, 9 o'clock. Say amen, Brother Brown. Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit, Getting Christmas Right, Part 2. Getting Christmas Right, Part 2. My brothers and sisters, last week I told you that Christmas is an amazing story of how God brought salvation to humanity in the form of Jesus Christ. And the emphasis for all of us ought to be to get Christmas right. Because the truth is, we want a white Christmas and a bright Christmas. We want the tree, the decorations, the lights, and we want everyone to be happy. We want to be able to get plenty and give plenty. We want peace and joy to abound. Truth is, that kind of Christmas often, again, turns into a real hassle. We're rushed and pushed for time. We spend money that we don't have on people we don't even like to buy them things that they don't even need. And in our struggle to get it right, we often, beloved, get it dead wrong. And I believe, again, God wants us to get it right. I believe that he is not so interested in us having a white Christmas as he is us having the right Christmas. So how do we get it right? How can we get Christmas right? John puts Christmas, the Christmas delivery, into context for all of us. He tells us what we need to know in order to get it right. Last week, I told you that if we're going to get Christmas right, we had to consider the person of Christmas. Everybody shout person. Person of Christmas. We told you that he is eternally God, he's equally God, and he was essentially God. In the beginning, the Bible says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning before the beginning began. He is God, and that we know is Jesus Christ. That is the person of Christmas. That's the reason for the season. That's why we shout and sing and are joyful, simply because Christ came into this world. And if I had some Christians that know how to give God praise, you ought to just say hallelujah to the Lamb for the person of Christmas. What a mighty God we serve. But not only do I want us to see the person of Christmas, I want us to see today the power of Christmas. And then, beloved, we'll look at the purpose of Christmas. Here's the power of Christmas. If I were to tell you, if I were to ask you what was the greatest manifestation of the power of God, we might come up with all kinds of answers here today. Some would say that it's creation. Others would say that it's his miracles. Some would talk about the cross, while still others would center on the resurrection. But I submit to you that the greatest expression of God's power was when he added humanity to his deity. I told you last week that he was God. He was God. He added humanity to his deity. He came to live and to die among men. It is when he unwrapped himself of his royal regalia and put on the trappings of humanity that we really see the power of God. Philippians chapter 2 says it like this: Jesus emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Think for a moment about just who was born in that mangy little manger in the little ghetto hamlet of Bethlehem. Who was it? The Bible says in verse 3, it says about him, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I like that verse because, listen, beloved, when we consider that verse, it tells us that Jesus was the creator of the universe. His birth as a baby becomes even more amazing. If it was Jesus, the one in the manger, who was the same one who created the universe, then, beloved, that's an amazing story. Are you listening to me? The creator of creation himself humbled himself and became a creature in creation. The eternal God, beloved, became dependent upon a human mother. Jesus was older than his mother and the same age as his heavenly father. What a story that is, beloved. Jesus, who is the agent, the text says, of creation, stepped out of eternity, laid aside his glory, and entered this world as a human baby. And listen, beloved, I don't know about you, but that literally blows me away. If it is true that Jesus came all the way from heaven, I wish somebody would help me, and became a baby in a manger, that blows me away. If God can wrap himself in human flesh, then listen, that reminds me about the power that is behind Christmas. That is why this is not about trees or tinsels. This is not about packages and parties. This is not about bowls and boxes or even meals or mistletoe. Beloved, somebody please shout, this season is about him. Everybody say him. Him. It's about him. He is the reason for the season. He is the maker of creation. But watch the text. Not only is he the maker of creation, not only did he make the universe, but he is the power that holds it all together. Hear me, beloved. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 says, "For by him," I like that, "all things were created in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether things were created through him and for him," all things were created through him and for him, "and he is before all things, and in all things he holds it together." I like that, beloved, because when it says he holds it together, he is the glue of the galaxies. He is the adhesive of the heavenlies. He is the paste of the planets. He is, beloved, the stickum to the stars. He is the cement to the cosmos. He is the stay in outer space. And he is the hold on the universe. He made it, and somebody ought to shout, "I'm glad he holds it all together." Are you listening to me? He holds this universe in his hand. Listen, beloved, think about it this way. Man can't really make anything that runs as it should and does not break down. But take a look at our great planet and realize that it does not travel in a true circle. It travels in three directions at the same time. It revolves on its axis. It travels around the sun, and its path is deflected by other planets. seconds, and still it does not lose more than 1/100 of a second every 100 years. Listen, beloved, if God did that, that's some kind of hole. Are you listening to me? When he took the building blocks of the universe, which is the atom, an entity so small that each atom is less than 150 millionth of an inch in diameter, and it could take the molecules of a single drop of, if we could take the molecules of a single drop of water, convert them into the grains of sand, listen, beloved, there would be enough sand to build a concrete highway half a mile wide and 1 foot thick all the way from New York to San Francisco. Listen, beloved, if God did that, that's some kind of hole. Listen, combined with the fact that the one cell from our body contains, 200 billion molecules of atoms, whether you look at the universe through a telescope and see how big it is, or you look at the universe through a microscope and see how small it is, when you see the order and the symmetry and the harmony and the beauty of this world and universe, listen, beloved, how could one not conclude that God did it and he holds it all together? Are you listening to me? God is in control. So what does that mean about Christmas? It means that God is in control this Christmas, every other Christmas past, and every Christmas in the future. It may look like this world is spinning out of control, but baby girl, brother man, it's not. God is in control, and he is holding it all together. Whether or not we are paused in the pandemic, whether or not we're going through a social difficulty, whether or not we lost our job, whether we got food on the table, God is in control. Control, and he's holding this universe together. I wish somebody would help me. The truth of the matter is, beloved, he did all of that. Listen, and listen, the hands of who made it, and all the things that are working toward the purpose for which he designed it, the one who made it and controlled it all was born 2,000 years ago as a hopeless infant. He lived in abject poverty and was rejected only to die a horrible death on the cross. And he did all of that, came all the way from heaven's glory to remind me just how much he loves me. Are you listening to me? And somebody ought to shout, Pastor Reese, I'm glad you ain't the only one he loves. He loves all of us. Is there anybody out there know God loves you? Come on, somebody help me. He loves all of you, all of your idiosyncrasies. He loves all of your persnickety ways. He loves you so much that he has numbered the very hairs on your head, came all the way from heaven's glory that he may be born in a manger just to prove how much he loved us. Let me just give you a witness. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what is the power of Christmas, beloved? Is it some burly man in a red suit taking toys to all the good little children? Is it Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer who had a very shiny nose? And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. Is it Frosty the snowman who was a jolly, happy soul with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal? Is it elves or presents or huge meals or even family get-togethers with ham and turkey and dressing and collard greens? I wish somebody would help me. Somebody shout, no, no, no. It ain't about a burly man. It ain't about Rudolph. It ain't about Frosty the snowman. It ain't even about get-togethers and family meals. No, 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 absolutely not. We want to get Christmas right with the right attitude and the right heart and the right perspective, then please note the power of Christmas is God in a manger. Am I right about it? The truth of the matter is, beloved, please know that the same God that was born born in that mangy manger some 2,000 years ago is the same God that is with us today. That ought to shout somebody today, somebody going through trials and tribulations, somebody going through difficulty right now, somebody who don't know which way to turn. The same God that was born in Bethlehem is the same God that we can call on right now. And I double dog dare you to call his name today. Can I tell you his name? His name is Jesus, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. His name is Jesus. Jesus, the wonderful counselor. Jesus, my friend, when I didn't have a friend. He's a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. The same God that was born in Bethlehem is the same God that comes to my need. Preach, Reese. I'm trying to do that. Can I just ask you one question? Anybody need him today? Come on, don't fool me now. Anybody need him today? Need him as a doctor, need him as a lawyer, need him as a comfort, need him as a burden bearer. Anybody need him today? Yes! Same God. Lord, help me hold my hope. Listen, beloved, we see the power of Christmas. It says all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's the power of Christmas. Christ unwrapped himself of his royal regalia, put on the trappings of humanity there in the little hamlet ghetto village of Bethlehem to save the world from their sins. That is the power of Christmas. But let me just give you this, beloved. What is the purpose of Christmas? Watch this. We see the question that begs is why? Why did the Creator desire to become part of his creation? Why did God put on human flesh, and the text suggests, walk among men? Why did he come to this world to live and die a horrible death on a cross? What is the purpose of Christmas? Well, the text says he came to bring life to deadness. Verse 4 and 5, in him was life. Y'all see that? And the life was the light of men. When Jesus came into this world, he entered a world filled with dead men. The dead did not know that they were dead. I wish somebody would help me. We were literally the dead men walking. It reminds me of a farmer years ago was trying to teach his son the ways of a farm. And so those of you who are from the South know that the farmer took his son to the hen house. He grabbed a chicken and said, your mama wants to fry some chicken today. So you know what you got to do. And so with that, he cut the chicken's head off, and the chicken began to flop around on the ground. Well, the little boy's eyes got wide with amazement. He said, Daddy, look, that chicken, that chicken is dead, and he don't even know it. Listen, beloved, that's exactly the way we were without Christ. Come on, somebody help me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, He has made alive, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins. In other words, Jesus came so that dead men could live. Is that all right? That when a dead lost man meets Jesus, he passes from life to death. When that dead man becomes alive in Jesus, somebody knows that everything changes. When we give our life to Christ, something is different. When we give our life to the Lord, and although we still got problems, but now we got somebody who will carry our load. Are you listening to me? We still got difficulties, but listen, we still got someone we can cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. Something changes in our life. 2 Corinthians put it like this, chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The simply is this, that men got to realize, beloved, that Jesus is the strength of the earthly life. The truth is, we are only alive today by the grace of God. Listen, the truth of the matter is, a whole lot of us used to shout about the fact that we should have been dead, sleeping in our grave. All of the crazy stuff we did, all the crazy places we went. Listen, don't get too holy on me on Sunday morning, as if you ain't never been nowhere, done anything. But listen, if you are alive today, it is by the grace of God in your life. Held back the death angel. Jesus is the strength of the earthly life. He makes life possible. But not only is he the strength of the earthly life, he's the secret to an effective life. You know the verse, John 10:10, that says, the thief come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you listening to me? The word abundant means superior, extraordinary, surpassing, or uncommon. That this is the kind of life that Jesus came to give us. He gives life. Listen, beloved, a life with purpose, a life with meaning, a life that is defined with destiny and packed with potential. And listen, a life that says, with Christ, all things are possible. With Christ, nothing is too hard for him. And the truth of the matter is, we didn't start living until we gave our life to Christ. We were just dead men walking. Are you listening to me? But now we are alive. Are you hearing me? That's why you ought not look at me as if you are dead right now. Come on, somebody. Because anything dead ought to be in the cemetery. But is there anybody here that can testify he has brought life to your dead situation? Are you up in here right now willing to testify and give God some praise that he is the reason why you are living today? I double dog dare you to lift up your hands. I double dog dare you to rev back real quick and shout hallelujah. He has given me life. Don't go to places I used to go. Don't say the things I used to do. Come on, somebody help me. I've got a new life in Christ. He is the strength of the earthly life. He is the secret to an effective life, but he's the source of eternal life. That when this life is over, I'll fly away. Come on, somebody help me. The truth of the matter is, those who know Jesus will by faith live eternally. He brought life to deadness. He is the source of eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, real living is more than walking and talking and eating and breathing and loving. Real life, abundant life, joyful life is found in knowing God through his son. Are you listening to me? And that son is Jesus Christ. He, beloved, when you consider the purpose of Christmas, the text says he came to bring life to deadness, but lastly, he came to bring light to darkness. Verse 5, and that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Are you listening to me? Now, listen, a person who does not know Jesus is more than just spiritually dead. That person is also in spiritual darkness. Jesus came to change all of that. Jesus came to deliver us from lost, from darkness, to bring light, to bring us into his glorious light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says it like this, for at one time we were in darkness, but now we are the light of the Lord. Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Paul tells us how God came to a people to open their eyes and to turn them from from darkness to light. Come on, somebody help me. From the power of Satan unto God. And I like Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 that says, who has, talking about Jesus, delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Jesus came to bring light to our spiritual darkness, just as he stood in the darkness of creation and said, let there be light. There was a day when he stood in the cold darkness of my heart and brought light to my soul. Are you listening to me? That's how Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That when I see Jesus, when I look at Jesus, I recognize that he has brought light to my dark soul. Are you listening to me? And what's sad about it is this, that the world stumbles blindly in the dark, seeking the light in all the wrong places. Can I say that again? Listen, beloved, what's sad about it is simply this, that Jesus came to bring light to our dark soul. And the sad part about it is this, that the men are seeking the light in all the wrong places. Listen, let me give you a window to see through. I heard about a man who had too many sour apple martinis, sidecars, and Long Island iced teas. He was down on all fours late one night under a street light, and he was fumbling around on the ground, feeling the cement, trying to find something. A friend walked up to him and said, Sam, what are you doing? He said, well, I lost my wallet, and I'm looking for it. So his friend got down on his knees and began to help him look for it, finally to no avail. The friend says to his buddy, Sam, are you sure you lost your wallet here? And Sam said, well, in fact, I dropped it a half block over there. And the friend said, well, why aren't you over there looking for it? He said, because there's no street lights over there. Tap somebody and say, you'll get that on the way home. Listen, we laugh, but that's just how people do, beloved. They look for that which is lost under the wrong light. You can't look for it under the light of possessions, because once you get something, it's always going to be something else new. Listen, you can't look for it under the light of people, because listen, people are funny style, fickle, and sometimey. You can't look for it under the light of popularity, because one minute they shout and hoes, Hosanna, Hosanna, and the next minute they shout and crucify him. Truth is, when the right light comes, people reject it. That's why John chapter 3, verse 19 said, and this is the condemnation, that the light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Notice again, beloved, the text says in verse 5, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's where I'm going to land today. The darkness has not overcome it. Listen, the light shines in the darkness, and no matter what the darkness tries to do, it cannot overshadow or overcome the light. Listen, you don't know when to shout. Listen, no matter what happens in this world, no matter what comes our way, listen, the darkness cannot overcome the light. Listen, beloved, this world is trying to claim. Listen, that's what that word overcome means. It means to lay hold of. It means to claim for oneself. And this world is trying to claim the light, to actively quench the light, to prevent it from shining anywhere. But listen, I've got good news for y'all. Listen, beloved, the darkness has not overcome. Listen, no matter how bad it gets, the darkness cannot overcome the light. Are you listening to me? Because the light that shone brightly in eternity's past, the light that gleamed in Bethlehem's manger, the light that shone some 33 years while Jesus was here on planet Earth, the light that flickered briefly at
Calvary, but blazed forth at the entrance of an empty tomb. Listen, that same light will continue to light the pathway toward eternity for all those who desire to follow him. Are you listening to me? The darkness can't overcome it. And because the darkness can't overcome it, when you say, when I get to Christmas, since darkness hasn't overcome the light, listen, beloved, I'm just gonna let my little light shine. Is there anybody in here not ashamed to say, even though I'm going through hard times, I'm gonna let my light shine? Listen, beloved, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine all in my home. I'm going to let it shine all on my job. I'm going to let it shine all in my neighborhood. I'm gonna let it shine at the local Piggly Wiggly, the Safeway, Ralph's. I'm gonna let it shine in the Bank of the West. I wish somebody would help me. Bank of America or the credit union. I'm gonna let it shine, because when I let my light shine, the whole world will see that there is a God who loves us and looks beyond our fault. I'm gonna let it shine. That's why Peter says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We ought to let our light shine. Am I right about it? You ought to praise him by letting your light shine this Christmas. Let it shine and God will use you. Let your light shine and see what God will do. Let your light shine and somebody knows that God will see you through. Let your light shine. Somebody knows God will make a way for you. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Shine, shine, shine. I'm going to let it shine. And listen, we ain't got to wait until we get out there. We ought to let it shine in here. I double dog dare you to get up on your feet and wave your hands in the air. I double dog dare you to tell God thank you and give him some praise up in here. And I double dog dare you to let your light shine. Somebody got running in their feet. Somebody got clapping in their hands. Somebody got a song on their lips. Let your light shine.
We gotta let the light shine, because darkness has not overcome the light. As tough as this world is, and as challenging as what we've gotta go through on a daily basis, you can't touch my God. Ooh, hallelujah. There's a purpose for Christmas. He came to bring life to the dead. He came to bring light to the darkness. And I'm so glad that he flicked the light on in my life. Anybody with me today?